Now, money might not be a topic you'd expect patients to regularly talk about with their doctor. But for Dr. Michael Stein, he's made a point of asking people he treats about their finances, including whether and how they can afford medications he might prescribe for them. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the cost of health care, about the link between poverty and individual health? Have you had to make a tough financial decision about whether you could afford a copay, a procedure, a medication that was important to your well-being? On the other side, if you work in healthcare, do you worry about the financial well-being of your patients? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Michael Stein is a primary care physician and professor and chair of health law, policy, and management at Boston University's School of Public Health. His new book is called Broke: Patients Talk About Money with Their Doctor. Dr. Stein, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, what led you as a doctor, you know, dealing with patients every day, to start bringing up the issue of their money and financial well-being?
Yeah, well, I'm a primary care doctor in the same town for about 30 years, and you get to know people pretty well over that period of time. And even before you know them well, they usually bring up the topic of money in one way or another in my office. And what I decided to do in Broke is to put those voices of the people that I care for down on paper, because I think it's an unusual set of things that people talk about, and I want to change our impression of the lives of people who have low incomes.
Yeah, we'll dig into some of those stories in just a bit. You share a lot of them in here, anecdotes from the lives of the people you've worked with. Who are you hoping sees this and learns from it?
Well, I think that poverty is really a solvable problem, right? We can come up with policies at the macro level to address poverty if we want to. We have a sort of shocking numbers in this country when you spend a minute to look at some of our numbers. And the easiest one to make sense of it would be the poverty of children. And this is really even before COVID, when 1 in 6 children lived in poverty. And you have to understand, 1 in 6 is a rate that's absolutely unique among our peer nations. And it really is a choice. It's a political choice. It's our politicians' choice. And there are ways that we can solve much of this if we want to. And I'm hoping that people who might read this book and think about their neighbors will address some of these issues through their voting.
We've seen statistics over the years showing that poverty in and of itself is a health hazard, and that really speaks through the voices of the patients you talk to. Can you talk about some of the ways that people might not think about if they haven't experienced poverty, some of the ways that poverty hurts people, that it makes them sick in the short and long run?
Well, I'll give you the clearest statistic that I know of. And when I heard of it, I was shocked. And I have to say that now, years later, I remain shocked. The clearest statistic about how health and wealth are related in the United States. When you take people who are living in the poorest county in the United States, so that's in South Dakota, where the median family income is about $26,000, a kid born in that community has a life expectancy of about 67 years. So move across the country now to one of the richest counties. Let's say pick one in Virginia. They have a bunch of rich counties. If you a kid born in that county in Virginia today, your life expectancy is about 84 years, 67 versus 84. So just depending on where you are born and the conditions of your life in that area, there is a 17-year difference. And that is just a shocking demonstration of how wealth affects our health in the most bald form, right? There are lots of other ways that health affects health, and some of the patients in Broke will talk about that. But you can imagine what they are, whether it's going to an emergency room late because you don't want to pay, it's whether it's not filling a full prescription because you're unable to pay, et cetera. So there are many ways and many statistics to bring out that say, you know, it's not good for your health to have not enough money in the United States.
You have a lot of individual stories from patients, and again, their identities are protected. You don't give their real names, but there is a recurring patient who you call Perry in the book. This is somebody clearly you've worked with over a long period of time and gotten to know him pretty well and seen struggles and some of the upsides. How is it for you as a doctor just to see over time how poverty is affecting the patients you work with and get to know pretty well?
Yeah, thanks for bringing up Perry. So, you know, we've been talking about policy and statistics so far, but of course, as you know, the book is really in patient voices. It's 100 or 150 patients just speaking about how money affects their lives, right? The cost of funerals, alimony payments, utility bills, car breakdowns. And I think the reason I started this book was this patient that I've called Perry, who came in one day. He's a guy who I knew for several years at that point. And he came in and he said to me, Doc, he said, you know, I am so broke that I have to rinse my paper plates. And that was such an interesting and appalling image to me, rinsing off paper plates. And I said, well, you know, tell me about that. What do you spend your money on that you're using paper plates and rinsing them? And Perry then, and it really is the first vignette in this book, tells me about his money, right? He says, I make $720 in Social Security a month and $150 of it in food stamps. My rent's $222. The building I live in charges me $11 per month per air conditioner. And off he goes down the list of expenses that he has. And so I track Perry over the next year or so. He shows up multiple times, and he's really the only named character in this book. And I show what happens in his life. And it's not all bad, right? I mean, let's not be sentimental about this. Not everybody who has relatively little money wants more money, particularly. Many of those people are doing just fine. They love the work they do. They love their families. They love their churches. They do okay. And Perry's story, I think, is a story of hope throughout the book. And I hope readers will understand that in Broke, it's not just about feeling bad. It's really about sort of the changes that people make and how money affects their lives.
Talking to Dr. Michael Stein about his new book, Broke: Patients Talk About Money with Their Doctor. On the downside, though, Dr. Stein, a recurring theme is, I guess, that precariousness, where somebody who's used to living a middle-class lifestyle might say, oh, a $30 ticket for this, or, oh, $100 for books to go to community college, or a $200 car repair. You know, I don't love it. You don't love it, but you can pay it. It's an obstacle. It's a serious roadblock for a lot of the people who share their stories in your book.
Yeah. You know, small amounts of money that are needed urgently are a problem for most Americans, right? About half of America has less than $400 in their savings account, which means when their carburetor breaks, they are in big trouble and other things have to shift around in their lives. That's really almost half of Americans don't have $400. So I think of poverty as really not just a sort of number or an income level or a Medicaid threshold or a policy target. I mean, poverty in the lives of my patients is really a feeling. And it's really a kind of pain, and it's inhabited by my patients many minutes of every day. And they talk about that in these conversations with me about how painful that is and the series of problems that arise. And it's more than pain, right? What pain does for any of your listeners who are in chronic pain of any kind, and I see poverty as this feeling of pain, is that it takes up space in your mind, right? And so that people with low income who are thinking about money have less room to think about all sorts of other things. And that's not only stressful, which produces its own bad outcomes, but it's like a tax on your thinking and reasoning. And if you have very little money, bad reasoning makes things even worse.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Angie is with us in Madison. Angie, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Angie?
Sure. So I actually happen to be a physician at UW, but have been doing some elder care for my father over the last several months. And I think his story just like really exemplifies for me what some people have gone through. So he had been admitted to the hospital for a stroke and had been discharged with prescription to get a drug called Lovenox, which is a shot that's in your blood because that was what had caused his stroke. And he had gotten discharged and went to the pharmacy late at night to go pick it up. And he has Medicare, and the pharmacist said, oh, yeah, you know, it didn't go through appropriately, so you're going to need to pay. It was for the whole prescription. It was going to be $1,000 for him to pay to get that medication. And, you know, he didn't, like, think of it going through. And we fortunately, you know, have credit cards and means to pay for it. And in the end, we were able to get it all sorted out to have it pay the $10 copay that it really cost. But I think it highlighted for me as a physician, and I think for our family, you know, the true impact of wealth and money and access, you know, especially for older patients in our society.
Angie, thanks for that call. And Dr. Steiner, reading the stories of some of the patients in your book, they wouldn't have had maybe that credit card to get that medication they needed now, and they might not have had the connections, the internet connections even, to get the problem sorted out to get it down to that $10 copay.
Yeah, Angie, thanks for the call. There's so many parts to your story, right? First of all, it's that doctors, and I include myself here, really don't know the costs of the medications that we prescribe. That's number one. Number two is we have more than 20 million uninsured Americans, where every medical cost is a great burden. But we also have many insured Americans. We have who have problems paying their bills, right? So you could have a very good private insurance through your employer and have a very high deductible, and it's going to cost you a lot of money when you have to get that Lovenox shot. You have to pay the first $1,000 of that, right? Medicare patients, those who are over 65 or disabled, are people who are, again, not in many cases covered for the expenses of the medications. So we have a system that puts everybody at risk. As we know, medical costs are the leading cause of bankruptcy in people who've been hospitalized when they leave the hospital with those bills and outpatient charges. So I hear your story, Angie. There are a bunch of older folks who are talking my book about some of these things. And thanks for the call.
Thanks for calling in, Angie. We're talking to Dr. Michael Stein, physician and professor at Boston University. His new book is called Broke: Patients Talk About Money with Their Doctor. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have thoughts, maybe experiences with the difficulty of paying for healthcare, how has living in poverty, if you have, affected your well-being, mental and physical? If you work in healthcare yourself, what do you see when it comes to the financial well-being of your patients? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with physician Dr. Michael Stein. His new book is called Broke: Patients Talk About Money with Their Doctor. You can join in with your thoughts, experiences, questions at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Lori is with us in Wisconsin Rapids. Lori, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Lori?
Well, my question is, I am not familiar with the book, but I'd be very interested in reading it. But my question is, how is the message of universal health care lost on the general public? I mean, I look at it like, okay, I pay $8,000 a year in health care. I don't utilize that much, right? I'm fortunate enough to, my family's fairly healthy, outside of any general things. But I don't know, how is it so lost? Is it because the general public doesn't understand the structure of payment, or doesn't understand that, hey, you are already kind of a slave, so to speak, to the insurance companies? You really don't have a free choice with some specialty care. You have to get it approved or maybe denied. And then there's the whole complexity of doctors practicing in hospitals that aren't covered under your insurance, but you're at the facility. So I look at it like, okay, I'm paying this $7,000 to $8,000 a year. I would rather pay that into a big bucket where I know that my elderly neighbor, even though I may not be using my insurance, my money may go to somebody who doesn't have it now, where we can, as a whole community, that would be covered and overall would make healthcare costs go down, because we would have a ultimately, hopefully, a healthier country, so to speak.
Gotcha. Lori, Dr. Stein, what do you think?
Lori, it's a very complicated question. you know, I'm absolutely in favor of every American having some coverage. We're, again, unique among our partners, our peer nations of higher income peer nations throughout Europe and the rest of the world, in that we don't, that we have tens of millions of people who are uncovered. Now, we have an extremely complicated healthcare payment system at this point. And the question then becomes a political one, if you believe in the moral one, right? The moral one being that healthcare is a right, and it's going to come for us. A medical problem is going to come for all of us someday. And so if you believe it's a right, then we need to either have some anger that we're not covering many people, or some shame that we're not covering many people, including ourselves, often those of us with insurance, that we need to, again, make the political decision. And there are lots of potential ways to get to universal coverage, but it's a political decision. I'm 100% with you. And the clearest evidence that insuring people who are uninsured helps is to look at the states that have expanded Medicaid over the past 10 years under the ACA. And what you see is that people in those states where it's been expanded, who never had insurance before, now have all sorts of health advantages and economic advantages in terms of, again, not being bankrupt, not being evicted, and all sorts of things that sort of flow down from being healthful. Because really, being healthy is a means to get to other pieces of your life. It's not only an end.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Dr. Michael Stein. His new book is called Broke: Patients Talk About Money with Their Doctor. Let's bring on another caller now. Kathy is with us in Madison. Kathy, hi.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you for this program. I'm calling because I have adult children. My daughter is an engineer. She has top-tier insurance. She had a baby this past year during the pandemic. She, at 20 weeks, her doctor recommended that she have an ultrasound. It was recommended that, you know, went right in the back to do the ultrasound. There was no time for insurance to prior authorize it. Insurance didn't cover it, didn't cover that 20-week ultrasound. Consequently, my daughter was stuck with the $5,000 bill. She has very good insurance, and we fought with the insurance company tooth and nail. They didn't budge one bit. So
Kathy,
it's not...
Oh, thanks a lot for the call. We don't have too much time left. Dr. Stein, so we're hearing this from people who are well-to-do and have good insurance. And now getting back to the patients in your book, Dr. Stein, I mean, if people with good insurance are getting hit with this kind of thing, what's happening to them?
Absolutely. I mean, the book is really, Broke is really meant to sort of capture the attention and stimulate the curiosity about what it's like to live with a low income and all the perils that ensue from that. But what your callers are saying again and again is that we have a healthcare system that's broken, right? That we spend several trillion dollars a year, about five times more than the next highest country. And we are, A, unable to cover all of the people in our country in terms of universal access to care. B, many people who are covered are still suffering. And C, we have poor health outcomes. We have low life expectancy. We have high infant mortality. We have a broken system. It's a very complicated system. It's one that needs to be fixed. But that's almost a parallel piece or a small piece of of my book, which is really about people who have no money and who happen to be seeing me in my office and talking about their more general money worries, not only their medical money worries.
We had one caller who mentioned, you know, family support can be a great thing for health, but the caller acknowledged not everybody has that. And that's a theme in your book. Often people are having to support their own family member, or they grew up with unreliable parents who couldn't support them as kids. A lot of people are just coming into adulthood with no support at all, again and again in your book.
Yeah, I think that that's right. I mean, you're talking about the sort of epidemic of isolation that that we're seeing in the United States, with so many people living alone, some by choice, some because they're homeless, some because they're evicted. We see that a lot. And again, when you have no money, you depend on lots of people. You depend on the resources of your community. You depend on the goodness of your neighbors. And Americans are actually quite generous, right? We have a very generous country much more than other countries. We depend on our families or anybody who can really support us. That notion that I talked about of having less mental bandwidth because you're poor, because you're thinking about money all the time, really can be buffered by other people. And I think that health is clearly improved when you're able to find another person who you're accountable to and who can help you during stressful times.
Dr. Stein, that's all the time we have. Thanks so much for sharing this with us today.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
Dr. Michael Stein is a primary care physician and professor and chair of health law, policy, and management at Boston University's School of Public Health. We talked to him about his new book, Broke: Patients Talk About Money with Their Doctor.